In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Mother of the Word Incarnate, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's appropriate today that Pope Francis should be installed as Pope on the feast, the Solemnity of St. Joseph, for St. Francis and St. Joseph have had a long association in many ways throughout the ages, and Franciscans and St. Joseph have had a very close relationship. We know, especially our Holy Father, St. Francis, had a great devotion to St. Joseph because of his great love for the Holy Family. And we know that St. Francis passed on as a legacy to all of his friars, devotion to St. Joseph. It's one of the great defenders and promoters of devotion to St. Joseph was St. Bernardine of Siena, who did much to write about and to promote devotion to and a greater understanding of St. Joseph's role in the Holy Family. But also the popes who have been Third Order Franciscans have been instrumental in fostering devotion to St. Joseph. Third Order Franciscan, first and foremost, Blessed Pius IX, who made St. Joseph the patron and protector of the Universal Church in 1870, at a time when the Church was undergoing a lot of turmoil. It was a time of course, the First Vatican Council, and the Council was abruptly ended before it was able to conclude all of its work because of the Franco-Prussian War that took place at that time and caused a lot of disturbance. So Pope Pius IX, a Third Order Franciscan, as I said, decided to place the Church under special protection of St. Joseph, who did such a good job of taking care of the Christ child and the Blessed Virgin Mary, that who better than St. Joseph to take care of the mystical body of Christ as well, the man of great virtue and great faith. And it would seem like Padre Pio was correct in his saying that, you know, these depictions of St. Joseph as this elderly man is not accurate. How could he be the protector of the Holy Family and be someone who is aged and, you know, feeble, as it seems that he would be portrayed as being an old man with a staff? Obviously, he had to be someone who would give legitimacy to Christ, you know, to give him that, you might say, the protection of his identity and the protection of his, you know, not calling into question any kind of scandal regarding his mother and his child, that he was foster child, that he was placed in a position to give that kind of dignity, and that also the not only by birth, because his mother was from the line of David, but also in his foster father being from the line of David, gave him that legal title to the royal line of David. And that is another good thing that St. Joseph fulfilled. But another Third Order Franciscan throughout history, Pope John the 23rd, Blessed John the 23rd, is the one who added St. Joseph to the Roman canon. And for all those who think that somehow the liturgy is stuck in stone and can't be ever modified, you know, Pope John the 23rd thought it was rather not right that the foster father of Christ shouldn't be mentioned in the Roman canon, and thought that he who is second to Our Lady in holiness should also be mentioned in the Roman canon and given his proper place. It's also through, as I said earlier, Blessed Pius IX, who elevated St. Joseph's feast to a solemnity of the highest rank. And we know that St. Joseph has always looked out for the church and especially for the Vicar of Christ, and has assisted them by his intercession from heaven in many ways. And we hope today that as Pope Francis begins officially, you might say, his pontificate, that under the protection of Saint Joseph and under his guidance as a just and holy man, that Pope Francis will truly help bring about the true renewal in the church. You know, that's one of the things also Franciscans Saint Joseph would have great interest in, since Saint Francis was seen, you know, holding up the Lateran, symbolic of helping to hold up the church, that Saint Joseph, the protector and patron of the universal church, would be very much interested in seeing that the church is always strengthened. And the thing that strengthens the church is holiness and true virtue, and none other than Saint Joseph to be a good example of that kind of virtue that is necessary for reform and true renewal. It's interesting that, you know, Pope Francis has been given the task of reform, and we know that reform doesn't mean changing. Reform means going back to what was, going back to our roots, going back to the essentials. Unlike our modern secular world and our president that we have at the time, who thinks that change for the sake of change is somehow an improvement, which in really cases, his word for change means revolution. And it's not revolution that we're looking for in the church or outside the church, but truly reform. Returning back to the order God established. That's why to uproot traditional marriage, to uproot this fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, and call abortion somehow health care, is so much contrary to what true reform is. That's revolution. That's what the devil and all hell wants, anarchy. And that's what true reform takes place, like the saints who came after the Protestant revolt, which wasn't a reform either, and that is going back to following Christ and the gospel, imitating our Lord Jesus Christ and his most holy mother. That's where true reform will come about. And that's the only kind of reform that will help benefit our world, both within the church and outside the church. If we want that kind of reform, it has to begin on our knees and acknowledging that God is God and that we are his humble servants. And that's maybe the best example that Saint Joseph can give to us today, that although he was placed in authority over the Christ child and over Our Lady, he acknowledged who his maker was. He knew his place, and in his humility, he thought his place was not to be a part of the Holy Family. He was going to put Our Lady away quietly and, you might say, exit stage left and disappear, because he thought he wasn't worthy enough to be in this presence of holiness, the Most Holy Virgin Mary, and this mysterious and miraculous birth or a conception that she had taken place in her. And God made it known to him through the angel that no, he was to be a part of it. He was going to be a very important part of the formation and the education of the Son of God, and mainly also to provide his protection and to be his foster father. So today, as we contemplate Saint Joseph, let us pray that we truly will imitate his great humility, something that Saint Joseph and Saint Francis and all the saints have in common, that is where true reform, true renewal will take place, if we're humble and like Saint Joseph, and truly listen and obey all that God asks of us, even when it requires the exercise of great faith, stepping out in that sometimes it seems in the darkness, but yet there's always a light that shines, that Christ leads us and guides us. And like Saint Joseph, May we imitate him in exercising that great faith and following the Lord as he did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.